The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Be a part of the Max Kellerman, no, not of the Max Kellerman Nation. No, the, it's just Max Kellerman Nation. That's right. Like, you can go to Brooklyn or Queens or Manhattan, but it's the Bronx. But it's not the Max Kellerman Show. It's just Max Kellerman Nation. It's just Max Kellerman Nation with no the. See, Raj, it's very important. Be a part of Max Kellerman Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Ain't going to get any from Bruce Arians, that's for sure. No Straight Talk. Yeah, Brady knew the down. Uh-huh. He knew. That's why he held up four and was like, what? Brady signed a sworn affidavit in front of witnesses, a notary public, saying he did not know the down. And Bruce Arians still comes out and goes, yeah, he knew that. Stop. Coach is covering for him. Of course he didn't know. He chewed out his O-line. Remember his O-line getting penalized? They're like doing the moonwalk down the field backwards. They're moving backwards. Oh, Brady's so mad. Doing the Michael Jackson all the way backward down the field. So he chews out his offensive line. Ooh, he's mad. Gosh darn it, when Tom Brady gets mad. And then this dude's got the nerve to not only... Remember, Nagy mismanaged the clock. There was a minute plus for the great Tom Brady to lead a fantastic comeback. I know Nick Foles got it done when it mattered most. He was awful in the beginning, got better and better. And then when you needed it most, Nick Foles, as usual, came through and got you that, you know, like more than enough to kick the field goal. You know, because they have the marker on for TV, like field goal range. Oh, he gave you more than enough. Beautiful pass. Beautiful. Floated that pass in there under pressure. Now it's Tom Brady's turn. I don't think they were easy plays, but all right. Well, you need to be easy. The Gronk pass in particular was next to impossible. I get it. I've seen him make miracle throws like that before. He didn't do it this time. But on third down, it was a makeable throw. It had to be a good one, but it was makeable. Nothing on third down, nothing on fourth down. Game over. And after chewing out his offensive line for, I guess, mental lapses or lapses. Yeah, it's got to be. It's not execution. It's mental, right? When you keep with all the infractions, all the penalties, drive killers, as Tom Brady's called them, and then he has a brain freeze like that? Ooh, that's a bad look for the GOAT. You see, Tom Brady would have been a great quarterback no matter who he played for. Nick Foles is highly dependent upon coaching, as most NFL quarterbacks are. Most NFL quarterbacks, they can look really good with a good coach, with the right coach, and really bad with the wrong one, and that's Nick Foles. Nick Foles is a league average-ish starter who's really good under pressure. Eli Manning won a couple of Super Bowls that way. Now, Eli was also an Iron Man. That's not Nick Foles. But Nick Foles, when he was with Jeff Fisher, did nothing. When he was with Chip Kelly, Doug Peterson did a lot. And by the way, his quarterback's coach, John DeFilippo, was with him in Philadelphia, with him in Chicago. But the reason I bring all that up is because 888-SAY-ESPN. You can reach me at 888-729-3776, say ESPN. The reason I bring all that up is because Tom Brady would, unlike Foles and a lot of other guys, would have been great no matter where he was, but he would not have been the GOAT without Bill Belichick. There are plenty of quarterbacks you've seen with your own eyes. You go, that guy's better than Tom Brady, but not over the body of work, not with the body of work over his career. Lots of quarterbacks gave you a good feeling under pressure and could get their team within field goal range, but not a guy who could do it for like almost 20 years. But why do you think that is? Just because of Brady? Belichick's always been more responsible for the Patriots' greatness than Brady, always. And like, you know, you deconstruct it, right? But the fact of the matter is, of course, did they need each other? Yes, to be as great as they were. You think Belichick couldn't have done that with another quarterback? You think you give Bill Belichick Aaron Rodgers, he wouldn't have done at least what he did? But Tom Brady could not have done what he did with any other coach. Not six. He'd have won a couple at least. He's a great quarterback. But not six. And what is it like now when you see how the other half lives, if you're Tom Brady? And when I say other half, I mean the other 31 teams. The Patriots never do what the Bucs did. But that's the advantage of Belichick. When it came down to it, Brady couldn't get it done. Had chances, couldn't get it done. Nick Foles could. Not the first time we've seen that. And no, I don't think Nick Foles is better than Tom Brady. But I am pointing out that Tom Brady's status as GOAT, which he is, and by the way, I was calling Tom Brady the GOAT before most people were. It was either him or Joe Montana in my lifetime, at least. But and Tom Brady also went from a guy with an overblown reputation for clutchness in the first half of his career. Like, I'll give you two others like that. Derek Jeter and Kobe Bryant. They are super great players who, under pressure, remain great. But the point is, they don't change under pressure. They remain the same. They're not guys, Kobe and Jeter, were not guys who, like, actually became better under pressure. They just were the same old guy. And they were always great. Jordan, Michael Jordan and Mariano Rivera did become even better under pressure. And they were also better than Kobe and Jeter normally anyway. That's like the highest level of clutch. Tom Brady was like Kobe or Jeter. Always great, including under pressure. But those kind of players get overblown reputations as clutch players because you see them in the clutch constantly. And they look great because they are great. But Tom Brady, I got to give it to him. Over the course of his career, exited the kind of Jeter-Kobe level of greatness and clutchness, which is an amazingly high level, and entered into the Rivera-Jordan level. Like, over the second half of his career, Brady consistently got even better than his already impossibly high standard when you needed it most. He wasn't simply getting you into field goal range and relying on his defense. In the second half of his career, before he started declining, he could actually elevate the offense and give you the touchdown when you, you know, not just getting Vinatieri into position. He could get you what you needed, like, and make crazy comebacks and everything. So I'm not taking that away from Tom Brady. But he would not have been the GOAT without Belichick. If you give Drew Brees Bill Belichick or vice versa, we'd be thinking of Drew Brees the way we think of Tom Brady. If you give Tom Brady Sean Payton, you'd be thinking of Tom Brady the way you think of Drew Brees, which is no insult. Drew Brees is an all-time great. You'd be thinking of Brady, where is he in the top 10, not the greatest of all time? And you know that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But last night, what we saw was Tom Brady without Bill Belichick. That's how it looks. By the way, Tom Brady did some good things in that game. But in the end, his team lost. And his team lost largely because they were undisciplined. And then the quarterback lost track of what was going on late in the game. Not that that would have mattered necessarily. The Bears were playing good defense, but heading into the game, who had a better defense, Bears or Bucks? I think Bears potentially have a better defense, but indeed, in fact, I don't think you could say so far the Bears have had a better defense. And offensively, come on, what kind of weapons did the Bears have compared to the Patriots, compared to the Bucks, rather? Bucks have many more weapons than the Bears. Right? So I don't want to hear, well, the Bears had the Bucks covered. Bucks have a good defense, too. Nick Foles found a way. Brady didn't. Tom Brady, on not realizing it was fourth down.
The final play, you were, and they made mention that maybe you didn't know it was fourth down. I can't imagine that was the case. What was, you know, it was fourth and five, you took a shot, they were great. That,
yeah, I knew we needed a chunk, and I was thinking about more yardage, and then, you know. It was bad execution. I mean, I had a great opportunity there, so just didn't execute when we needed to.
You know what I don't like about that, actually? Bruce Arians is covering for Brady. Like, why did Brady hold up four? Come on. Bruce Arians is covering for him. Brady was evasive. Brady didn't come out and say He didn't want to come out and say, yup, I lost track. That's okay. By the way, in every sport, that happens. I don't care who you are, you know, what kind of mental preparedness a player has, there are going to be moments where they have a little mental lapse. And unfortunately, sometimes that comes in a big moment, right? A lot of times they're a little mental lapse. You know, I used to hear about Joe DiMaggio. He never made a mental error. He probably did, but maybe it didn't result in some kind of, you know, it wasn't in a big moment where it was obvious. Or maybe it could have been obvious, but the way the game played out, it didn't matter. Brady didn't want to cop to it. Or else he just say, yep, didn't know. See, and the reason you know it's evasive is because instead of saying he didn't know what down it was, he said, well, this is what happened. I'm looking for a chunk play. I should have been looking for a first down. The follow-up should have been, he sounds like a White House spokesperson. Just answer the question directly. The follow-up should have been for Tom Brady. Tom, did you know what down it was? Yes or no? It's a yes or no question. And if he says yes, ask him what the four was about. That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Michael Thompson joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Father knows best. Michael, I'd like to picture you in your cardigan sweater and a pipe, sitting down in your easy chair when you do this segment.
You got it right. You paint the accurate picture, Max. And when you get off of Brady, he had a little mental lapse last night. You had a mental lapse all season when you picked the Clippers over the Lakers.
There's no doubt. But here's the difference. If you question me about it, I cop to it. This is what bothered me about Brady before we get to LeBron and basketball, Michael, and the Lakers. He made a mental error. It's okay. Like, it happens. And when he was asked about it in the postgame after his coach had covered for him, he didn't answer the question. He intentionally said, well, I knew we needed chunk yardage. I should have been looking for the first down. The follow-up should have been, Tom, did you know what down it was? Yes or no? And if he says, yes, I did, then I would ask him following up, why did you put up four? What did that mean? Right? Like, Michael, you know, he didn't want to answer that. He didn't want to talk about it because I think he was embarrassed by it.
You know what I think he meant by that four? I think he was holding those four fingers because he was signifying the four horsemen, Flair and the wrestling four horsemen. Maybe that's what he meant.
Maybe he was referring to how many championships LeBron and AD are going to win together. Not two, not three.
Right.
Hey, Michael, LeBron James has been extraordinary in these playoffs. I remember back in, what was it, 82, 83? What was the Philadelphia championship with Moses Malone and Dr. J? Fo. Which one was that? It wound up being 4-5-4, but
I think that was 82.
82, right. So LeBron James, for years we heard about how tough the West is. He's lucky he was in the East. He went 4-1, 4-1, 4-1 through the East. He was about to close this out 4-1 in the finals. What are your thoughts about LeBron's performance in these playoffs?
MVP-like performance. Obviously, I think if and when the Lakers win tonight, he'll be named the MVP again, getting the rightful and the most rewarding MVP trophy, the MVP of the finals. Obviously, Anthony Davis will be given stiff competition for that award, especially if AD has a great game tonight and the Lakers win. But I think LeBron is showing just how great he is, and he will be mentioned along with Michael Jordan and Kareem as the greatest player to ever play the game. And Wilt, too, should be in that conversation.
Who else?
Wilt Chamberlain. You forget about him?
Well, Wilt got two chips, and he was on good enough teams where he should have more than two, Michael. Like, Wilt was the kind of player, according to contemporaries and according to the record, where if you needed him to score a lot, maybe he was focusing on the assist. If you need, like, he was not the leader, it seems, that Bill Russell was. And that's not me saying it. That seems to be a consensus, Michael.
Yeah, you're right about that. Bill Russell's one of the four greatest leaders, like I've been saying, that ever put on a basketball uniform, along with Magic, Michael Jordan, and LeBron. That's the four greatest leaders right there that ever played basketball.
I want to talk about LeBron now and also the Lakers. See, peak performance to me is Jordan. I think that's actually pretty clear. And that ship has sailed for LeBron. It's not like LeBron's going to get better than he's ever been. But career-wise, I think LeBron's competing with Kareem. And if you limit it to the NBA, I think LeBron's already passed Kareem. But it's kind of unfair to Kareem, who played 3 years in college because he was eligible for that many. Freshmen couldn't play. won three championships, went 88-2. Like, you know, if you factor all basketball in, maybe LeBron hasn't passed Kareem yet. Where do you think LeBron has ranked? But I don't want you to just tell me a group. I want the order. Is LeBron 1, 2, 3? Where is the all-time NBA career?
When you talk about career, when you put it in that terms, Max, nobody compares to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Think about it, Max. He was the greatest high school player we've ever seen to this day. Greatest high school player ever.
Right.
College. Nobody in college can even be in the same conversation.
They outlawed the dunk.
In this last Kareem.
They outlawed the dunk. That's how he came up with the sky hook. He changed the game.
He was so great in college that when Kareem or Lew Alcindor was a freshman, the team that he was on as a freshman beat in a scrimmage the national championship defending team. So if he was allowed to play as a freshman, he would have won four straight college championships. He would have been the Breanna Stewart of men's basketball. That's how great he was.
That's right. Let me ask you this, Michael. The Lakers' Mount Rushmore, like usually Mount Rushmore's, like if you said the Clippers' Mount Rushmore, big deal. You got to find four guys to put on there. But if you said the Lakers' Mount Rushmore, it's really a torturous exercise because – some worthy person, like some legend, some stone-cold basketball killer is not going to get on the Mount Rushmore. There are only four slots. You figure Magic and Kobe got two of them nailed down. There are two left over. Kareem, Shaq, who was more in his prime than Kareem was when Kareem was with the Lakers. Jerry West, who's the logo, who not only as a player was one of the greatest who ever did it, but as probably the greatest executive in the history of the NBA. You know, there are so many guys to put on there. Who is on your Mount Rushmore for the Lakers now? You got to choose four and only four. And what would LeBron have to do, or maybe even AD have to do, to get on there and knock someone out?
Well, for me, Max, when you talk about the Lakers Mount Rushmore, you got to put in longevity, too. How long they did it for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. And, of course, go along with their greatness and the history they had, impact they had on the history of the game. So, for me, it's easy. And I don't want to know how anybody can argue or take my Mount Rushmore for the Lakers. Obviously, it's Kobe and Magic lead the list. Then you got to add Kareem, 14 years with the Lakers, and then the fourth face is Jerry West. Come on, how could it be any other?
I'll tell you why.
I'll
tell you why.
That to me.
This look, I agree with you, Jerry West over Wilt Chamberlain, but let me make the argument for Shaq. Shaq was in his absolute prime with the Lakers and three-peated and each time won finals MVP on a team with a young Kobe Bryant, who's basically in his prime, right? Like, Shaq was the indisputably the best player in the world. Like, Kareem was that in the beginning of his Lakers career, first couple of years. But then it went on, and he was still a great player, but he was no longer the MVP of the league after the first several Lakers years. And they never three-peated. So I agree with you. I would also put Kareem on the Mount Rushmore. But when you talk about that fourth slot, I know Jerry West won an MVP in a losing cause. And he was also a great executive. But as a player, so I agree with you, by the way. That would also be my Mount Rushmore. Kobe for the Lakers. Kobe Magic, Kareem, and Jerry West. But I think Shaq has a hell of a case on that Mount Rushmore, and I'm curious as to who you think would be the guy to, like, what would LeBron have to do to knock out one of those four on Mount Rushmore, and who would it be?
Ooh, that's a great question. Obviously, I think he's going to win a championship this year, so that'll be one. If he comes back next year and lead the Lakers to a back-to-back championship, then there'll be a solid argument to knock somebody off of the Mount Rushmore. And then if he somehow added a third championship, oh my goodness, I'm not going to say, you think, hey, I'm around the Lakers. You think I'm going to knock one of those faces off? I'll leave that up to you and all the pundits.
But see, that's what I mean about Shaq. See what you just said about about LeBron. If LeBron won three in a row and did it as the best player in basketball, this year obviously he's about to accomplish that, but if he repeated that next year and the year after, he would just match Shaq. That's just a match for Shaq. And by the way, Shaq went to another finals that they lost with the Lakers, but still went to the finals. And he had a bad toe that year and all that stuff. So, like, I'm just saying, the Lakers' legacy is unbelievable. What about them tonight maybe finally catching the Celtics with 17 championships? Michael, when I was a kid, no one was ever going to catch the Celtics. They had 13. The Lakers had six when I was a little kid. what would it mean for the Lakers to finally catch, for anyone to catch the Celtics at 17?
I always hear you make this argument, and it's a legitimate argument. It's a very accurate argument. Lakers in the modern era, when basketball expanded globally, when all these foreign players joined the league and made the league even better and stronger, the Lakers have won 11 championships to the Celtics 4. So when the Lakers win their 17th, I think this puts them ahead of the Celtics. Even though they'll be tied for championships, I think that because the Lakers have done in a tougher era where the game has expanded, makes them puts them ahead of the Celtics, even though they'll be tied.
By the way, Michael, honestly, I think they're way ahead of the Celtics now because I think you have to weight their championships more heavily given what you just said. But certainly, if they match them at 17, there is no argument. Like Celtics fans who like to think they had the greatest franchise in the history of the NBA, they're such a distant second. If the Lakers match them at 17, the Lakers will have the undisputed crown as by far the number one basketball franchise in the history of the universe. Like, if there's another franchise ahead of the Lakers, tell me who it is. There is none. It would be an amazing thing for them to close it out tonight. But, you know, Jimmy Butler's got other plans. This dude's not about to go out quietly, Michael. I expect a tremendous performance from Butler. The great Michael Thomas, ladies and gentlemen. Did I say Thomas? Well, he is a great player, Michael Thomas. But I'm talking about Michael Thompson. Raj.
See, now I think we've got to the bottom of this whole Spears thing. See what you did? See? Yeah. We'll talk about that later, but Thomas. Go ahead.
Well, I'm thinking about the NFL. Michael Thompson, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, he three sons, all of them made it to the highest league. Two in the NBA, one in Major League Baseball. Doing something right.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us in the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. By the way, we had a little Twitter poll before I get to the Titans and what should happen to them. Yesterday, we were expecting Marcus Spears. Raj gave Allie the wrong number. She called Mark Spears, and then Raj tried to pretend that, in fact, I'd asked for Mark Spears.
That's not what happened. Tell the truth, but go ahead.
Where's Allie? She'll tell the truth. Did yesterday, in fact. But Raj, very sniffily, made this a Twitter poll. And he's following the lead of some of our elected officials, trying to live in his own alternate reality. First of all, Raj, I invented that move. How dare you try to use it on me? And secondly, it won't work.
This is a student trying to become the master, Max. But the results on the poll, we simply put, whose fault was it? You can go to ESPN Radio at ESPN Radio on Twitter feed. And simply says, who gets the blame for mistaking Mark Spears for Marcus Spears on yesterday's show? Well, and Raj, who booked the guest, is one answer. Ali, who called the wrong number? Or Max, we requested the wrong guess.
No,
early results had you ahead by 73%.
Do you have any documentation of this?
Yes, I took a screenshot. But you pulled like some Russian politics stuff, and you simply put Raj.
Hold on.
And now it looks like I'm in the lead with 61%, and you're second with 35%.
But how did you fool 35% of the people into thinking I made a mistake? Ridiculous.
Because you requested, you wanted to
I did not. By the way, I like Mark Spears. I've never requested him once on this show. But I like Mark Spears. It's just that we have Marcus on as a scheduled weekly guest. If we can get him.
Yeah, well, you pulled in Audible, and I just was, as being a good producer, I filed the lead. But anyway, you can vote yourself at ESPN Radio yourself. And
decide for yourself.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I voted for you.
The Titans. Titans should forfeit a game. I know, like, Ryan Clark was on First Take today arguing that, you know, they would cost guys game checks and stuff, and also their opponents, and I get it. Got to figure something out, but the Titans were diagnosed with a bunch of COVID cases, and the league told them, don't practice, socially distance and all this, and they didn't do that. They had to practice. Stephen A. brought up on First Take, you know, what about when Tom Brady first got to Tampa and had to practice with his, you know, some teammates? And I was against that then. But that's not a team-organized practice. That's some players getting together. This was a team-organized practice. They were explicitly told by the NFL, do not practice socially distanced, and the very next day with multiple COVID cases, they practiced. Now, we don't know that it's causal, that they practiced and therefore COVID spread because they had a whole bunch of new cases, because the incubation period is much longer than, say, for the common cold or the flu. It's one of the tricky things about COVID. Not only is there no vaccination, but people are asymptomatic. For anyone who doesn't know, A just means not, means you don't have it. So you don't have symptoms. You don't feel or look sick. And yet you're contagious, right? So it spreads easily this way. It's a good strategy if you're a virus, right? So so we don't know if that's why they had more positive cases, because they practiced. I think it's reasonable to say that they did, but you don't need to know. It doesn't need to be causal. Correlation is good enough. They were told by the league, don't do that, that we're in a pandemic, and they did it anyway. Now, how many positive tests the Pittsburgh Steelers had? Zero. And yet the Pittsburgh Steelers are asked to give up their later bye week, take a bye week early, and then play a billion weeks in a row. And the Steelers, because they're in a situation like this, in order to pull off a season, it takes an enormous amount of cooperation from all parties, including the fans. We have to understand some teams will have a better home field advantage because they won't have fans, and because they'll have fans, other teams won't. Some things are going to have to get moved around. Some teams will get to practice at times. Other teams don't. It will be an imperfect season. You want to see football? Yes or no? Yes or no? You want to try so that they can crown a champion? Yes or no? Steelers are playing ball. Okay, fine. We'll take the bye now. It's not what we prepared to do, but let's all try and cooperate. The Titans, when they, knowing that there was a contagious disease for which there is no vaccine, knowing how contagious, were told don't practice and did it anyway, and then had more positive cases. You do not need to establish a causal relationship. Correlation does not equal causation. Meaning, just because one thing is true and another thing is true, it doesn't mean the first thing caused the second thing. Right? That's correlation. Both things are true. Every time, let's say Anthony Davis grabs, I'm just making this up, 10 rebounds, the Lakers win. That doesn't mean that if in the upcoming game AD gets 10 rebounds, the Lakers will certainly win, because you haven't established a causal relationship. But you do have correlation. Hey, I notice every time he grabs double-digit rebounds, the Lakers have a win. Something like that, right? That's different than saying we've looked at this and the formula that we've come up with says if he gets 10 rebounds, they will certainly win. And then he gets, and then every time that happens, right? And it's, they'll win because of these reasons. That's causal. It doesn't need to be causal for the NFL to take the appropriate action here, which they seem unwilling to do. You not only need to punish the Titans, and it's because, listen, it's not fair to the Steelers, right? Or the Bills. You not only have to punish them, but you need to set precedent. You have to show the rest of the league with a real deterrent. Don't mess around. You know why the United States isn't the fix we're in now with this virus? Because irresponsible leaders mocked wearing masks. Because disinformation was put out there about COVID. And as a result, the tenor was set, right? The tone was set. And people were not taking it seriously. What they studied the Spanish flu, the pandemic in 1918. You know what they found? Cities, even densely populated cities, faced different outcomes with the virus. You know what it depended upon? How early they shut down and how disciplined they were with the shutdown, how long they stayed shut down. We closed late, we opened early, we're undisciplined, and this is the fix we're in now, over 200,000 Americans dead. The NFL has to be way better than the American government right now, way better. They have to strictly enforce their rules, which, by the way, are not strict enough, in my opinion. If I were the NFL, I'd have gone to the but the owners got greedy. They wanted all the money. They wanted fans if they could get it. They want to cut their losses. They know they're going to lose some money this year. They want to lose as little as possible. And I think that's not how I would have done it. I'd have gone to the players and say, "Look, what if we did an 8-game season instead of a 16-game season? We have 16 weeks to get in 8 games. and we're going to go to bubbles. You don't even necessarily use all the 16 weeks, but you have them there in case you need them. We're going to have like several different bubbles. There's not going to be travel. You're not going to get to see your family for this amount of time. We'll prorate your salaries, et cetera. In other words, with a plan like that, like what the NBA did, you're very likely to crown a champion. Otherwise, you're taking a risk. But okay, so far the NFL's pulled it off. We're at the quarter pole. Most teams have played four games. It's amazing. No vaccinations. No bubbles. They've been doing a great job. But if your rules aren't even strict enough, at least in my opinion, then you absolutely must enforce them. Titans got to be made an example of. Sorry. I like the Titans. I think I want to see what they could do this year. But they should take an L, like a literal L. They should take that right now. That should be a loss. And the Steelers should have their bye later in the season, by the way. Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average.
Max, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app at SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. No doubt. Is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
No doubt. No doubt is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
What you got, Raj?
All right, man. I don't know if you heard what Brett Favre said, but pretty interesting. Brett Favre says Josh Allen, not Patrick Mahomes, is the new Tom Brady.
Nah, son. I know why he's saying it. Josh Allen's very good, and he's in the AFC East, right? And you look around the AFC East, it's not the same as it used to be. Cam Newton's in the AFC East. Tom Brady never had to compete against anyone like that. And the Bills look good, but can we let them do some stuff before we start comparing them to the New England Patriots under Belichick and Brady? So, no, disagree.
All right, check this out. Take a listen to Cowboys linebacker Jalen Smith.
It's about the effort. It's about the attempt, the trying, the everyday. It's the EDDs, our everyday drills, the pursuit drill, getting to the ball. X understands that we need to get our standard right, and that's what we focused on. We got to be better, and we will be better.
No, if you remember, but those were off Xavier Woods' comments on not playing hard. Xavier with the Cowboys safety. So you're good with Xavier Woods admitting, hey, we can't run hard every play.
Yeah, I am, and I'll tell you why. He's being honest, excuse me. No doubt. I'm good with Xavier Woods' comments because he's being honest, and the fact of the matter is, guys like Pete Rose in baseball become known as Charlie Hustle, right? Because Pete Rose went all out on every play. It's so rare, in fact, and that's baseball. Where someone's going maximum effort every play, it's a rare thing. And the fact of the matter is, guys take plays off. It is a grueling physical sport, and sometimes you have to pace yourself a little bit. So I understand. He's being honest. Now, maybe he shouldn't be saying it out loud. Maybe he needs an attitude adjustment, but no doubt, I'm all right with him.
It's like the Chappelle segment, when keeping it 100 goes wrong.
No, right. Listen.
When keeping it real
keeping
goes
it
wrong.
Real goes wrong. I always tell the kids, Raj. Keep it 90. I know everyone says keep it 100, but I keep it 90. You got to give yourself a little wiggle room.
That's right. That's right. Good advice. Hey, Max, baseball fans should be angry that the Astros are headed to another ALCS.
Yeah, of course, because, look, in 2017, you know, the Dodgers really think that they got cheated out of a World Series. I'm a Yankees fan. I thought the Yankees got cheated more than the Dodgers. Look, the fact of the matter is the Yankees bombed the Astros, when they were at Yankee Stadium. The Astros won squeakers against the Yankees when they were in Houston, meaning when they were cheating, they were a tiny bit better than the Yankees. And it did seem at times like, damn, Altuve knows what's coming, because he did. But at Yankee Stadium, the Yankees were beating the brakes off them. Thought the Yankees, in retrospect, were clearly the better team based on the results of that series. So, yeah, I'm mad as a Yankees fan. I know Dodgers fans are mad, too. But the fact is the Astros have fielded some impossibly talented teams. So, of course, they're tough to beat under any circumstances, but particularly when they're cheating.
You feel a little bit better about them winning now, real quick?
Nah, son. I now I want revenge. I'm not happy. Nah.